1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it's not going to be an all-day event with this one today, at least not that I'm aware of. Once again, it's one of Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. It's an interesting scripture because for the longest time, I didn't know what this phrase, quit you like men, meant. It was an interesting part. There's four segments of this one verse, just the way it's written to break it down. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that's the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, by the way, so easier to go to 2 Corinthians and look to the left and you'll be there. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. These four things, these are a wonderful reminder as we're growing in the Lord and we can encounter what some people would call a bad day. But like I told you, I don't let it go that long because it's just 24 hours in every day. So why don't you have a bad moment and then you'll have 23 hours and 59 minutes of a good day. It's all in how you think of it. But I really feel these words are relevant for our day because looking around us, and we're seeing a lot of turmoil all over the world, actually, in the thing with Israel and the repercussions of that back in our own country. So watch ye. It's the same kind of watching that Jesus told his disciples, what, can't you watch and pray with me for 1 hour? And they fell asleep. So it's a sense of being vigilant. It's a sense of being aware. Keep your eyes open. Stay awake. And that means spiritually as well, particularly. Be attentive to what's going on around you. In some cases, that's been known to save a person's life because they weren't so focused on their phone that they stepped down a manhole with the cover missing. You know, so watch what's going on around you in the natural, but also spiritually. Be discerning. Choose wisely what you decide to be a part of or to participate in. Not everything is what it's cracked up to be. Things can be presented that sound really nice. Oh, I think I want to be a part of that. And then you hook up with something and you find out that was not a very good choice. So a word of caution, Jesus told us about what the last days would be like, and there are things that are going to look like the real thing, and they're not going to be. So be really watchful. Don't be paranoid about it, but just be aware. You know, just be cautious what you participate in. Yes?
I always put it in the natural, in the physical. I always, being the military guy that I am, I always talk about situational awareness.
Yes.
And threat assessment.
Mm-hmm.
I always want those two things.
Excellent. Yeah, we did too, and we were serving during a time of war. And, you know, most of us that were veterans at that time, that was really, really big. I hadn't thought of it from a military perspective, but even in the natural sense, these are really important because we're not called in the scriptures to worry about what the devil's doing. I had a revelation once. He's not like Jesus. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He's in Ethiopia today, so he's not going to bother us today. No charge for that. But it's true. But even we're told in the scriptures to be vigilant, be watchful. And it also helps us to be aware of how to pray for situations. Be spiritually tuned in. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. I use this illustration, and Stuart, I know you could relate to this. When you're pouring a slab and you're backed up there with the truck and you got the guys raking it out and leveling it all out to the top of the forms, Well, if they wait until the 14th load comes and they're still standing in it, they're going to be standing fast. They may be able to step out of their boots, but their boots will still be in it. And so be that way in the Lord. Stand fast so that you get stuck there. And the enemy can't move you off your ground. Stand fast is a really wonderful term, and I've expounded on that a little bit, indicating to remain firm, persevere under challenging conditions. That means when times get tough, don't get discouraged and quit or give up. Don't even entertain the thought of that. Because once your mind starts going, then you got another battle to deal with. Just find that place in the Lord where consistency is the key and stay with it. That's a good word. Yes, Brad.
That's why it's so important. This word we have, God gave us. Amen?
Yes.
You know, we stick in this every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. I go to Matthew 24 all the time. And the key word that he told us to be careful with deceive.
Yes.
Because if we're not in this word all the time, that snake, that's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? That snake's going to come along. He's going to try to deceive every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we really got to hook right into this and don't let nothing pull us away from this word. It is so critical and so important to us.
It's the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, persevering under challenging conditions. I want to take you back to time when our kids were little and they were at the time of sports in school. And Faith and I had quite a time trying to balance that with church functions. She would go 1 week to our son's ball game and I'd go to our daughter's ball game. But we found a balance in that. But one of the ball games that Jeremiah was in, he liked to pitch. And he was quite good. And I know because I got bruises all over my ankles to show for it. Because I missed what he was throwing. they were playing Black River in Ludlow. And they were down really badly in the score. And it was 6-0 by the end of the first inning against them. And I don't know, kids maybe haven't matured yet to think that that's the end of the world, that's the end of the game, we're going to lose and start thinking negative. So they asked him to come in and pitch. And I sat right behind the big mesh screen behind the plate. And I marveled at, in one inning, he tied that game. Because he didn't get bumped, he didn't get discouraged. He was sitting on the bench waiting to be used. Well, sometimes we put Jesus on the bench waiting to use him, or waiting to be used by him. Not, you know, under pressure. And you get to that place where you really can battle discouragement and you feel like almost like, well, that's not the way I planned it to go. Well, if we went the way we planned things to go, we'd probably all be a little bit discouraged, wouldn't we? And refuse to abandon one's position or belief. In other words, no matter how the pressure comes, and I don't say this is bad news, I say it as a word to keep us prepared. When the day comes and the pressure starts mounting against us, because guess what? We're next on the hit list. And if you think I'm kidding, your head is in the sand deeper than your armpits. You just need to be ready, okay? And standing fast, it says in the faith. That's really important. That word's not there by accident. It says stand fast in the faith. The faith of what? Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. That's the faith. Singular, not plural. Not multiple ways to heaven. So you don't get to that place where you just turn loose of your faith and you give up just to make your life go better, because it won't. Your life will be a living hell if you try to give up on the Lord now, because the Holy Ghost is going to just come at you with the full power of all of heaven to say, don't do that. Don't quit. Don't give up. And he will strive with you every way that he knows to communicate with you, to help you. And if you took a left turn along the way somewhere and you walk, guess what? All you got to do is go back to where you took the wrong turn and pick up and carry on.
Jesus.
When Tom brought me back from Logan Airport, Carol had driven my car to a rendezvous point on the highway so I wouldn't have to go all the way back to their house. I'd already been up from midnight the night before, waited 3 hours in the airport, flew 9 hours back to Europe, 4 more hours in another airport, another 8 hours to the States. No, it was 10 hours back to Europe. The return flight is 10 hours. And all that time, and I got to my car, and the first thing I did was I got in my car and I took off, and I turned to the right when I should have gone to the left.
Oh, man.
Yeah. and it was getting dark, and I just sensed something doesn't look right. It just, you ever done that? You know, there's just, good, I'm glad I showed up in the right place today. Sometimes I wonder. And it just didn't seem right. But I went to where, then it was harder to find a place to turn around, because then it was full darkness. And I had come back through 10 and a half time zones, 10 and a half hour time change on top of that. And I was going to get in my car and drive to Chester, which was another hour. And I took that, I turned wrong out of the yard. Carol, next time you got to point my car in the right direction. But I just know in the Lord, there's a certain point where God will strive to correct us, to bring us back. You know, I think we've probably all taken at least one left turn in our faith walk. But you know, we're all still here today to see how he helped us to overcome that and gird us up and prevent us from making that wrong call that time again. And so standing fast has a lot to do with that. Another one, it says, it often implies in demonstrating resilience or determination. In the face of adversities, pressures, criticisms, or temptations, remain firmly attached to and in your relationship with Jesus. He's the only true faith we are to be connected with. And then I, from my own perspective, it reminded me of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15 of the vine and the branches. And he said, abide in me and my words abide in you. Abide means to dwell in, to live in, to remain attached to. And it has to do with his words. So Brad, thank you for the importance of standing on the word, because you see now that came up in a scripture in red right there that I had. I didn't see you here earlier reading my notes. See, the Holy Ghost will read your mail. Be watchful of what you think about. All right, quit you like men, part 3. For the longest time, I had not really a lot of understanding about that, but yet the simplicity of it, as I learned later in my walk, in the King James Version, you'll see that. But it means to be courageous, The phrase is the same as telling someone to be a man or take a stand like a man. But there's no gender. I mean, the phrase is used to encourage Christians to be bold and brave, regardless of the age or gender. So all of you that are as old as me or older, this is for you today. Stand up. Be brave. Be courageous. Be strong. Don't let circumstances knock you down. Get back up and keep trucking for Jesus. And, of course, the last one is be strong. We see that phrase. I'm thinking of Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the power of the Lord, or be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And there's a whole dissertation that Paul tells us to do. I want to clank when I get out of bed in the morning. I don't want to take my armor off when I go to bed. You know, he used a Roman soldier as his reference to the different portions of armor that the Lord has provided for us, and to make sure that we have them all on and have them in place, because the day's coming when we're going to need them. I think it's kind of upon us, really. We you know, this is the practice round. You know, like when we come in and we go through the songs before you come, that's the practice round, that's rehearsal. We have a chance to work out any bugs in the songs or areas of difficulty and get them all worked out, so that when we're all gathered together, it's very helpful. Well, it's the same about being strong in the Lord. Find your place in the body of Christ. Stay with it. Don't try to be somebody that we're not. Be free to be you, because there's no one else like you. And I'll tell you, Faith is really glad of that truth. There's nobody else like me. She can barely handle me. I can't imagine what two of me would be like. Yeah, that's me. And I was telling Don this morning, I said, I thank God every day for all of you, because 36 years and still here. And you really trust me to go out on a limb. But I cannot deny the fact that I come and I think about, who did God send with a saw today? Stand your ground. Maintain a deeply rooted and uncompromised conviction of your faith in the finished work of the cross for you. And that's a good thought today as we transition to when we have communion a little bit later. The deeply rooted believer in Christ. And I often use parables that I see with the trees or the stone wall. We talked about the stones last week, but even the trees, no matter how hard the wind blows, and sometimes you can hear it screaming on this northeast corner of the building. We've been here and heard it. Ooh, you're looking for Casper. He's not welcome here, even. I don't care how friendly he is. And I've never seen one of these trees blown over. Not one. And we've been here a really long time. Like I said, 36 years. And those trees are still standing. And they look dead in the winter when all the leaves are gone. Don't be moved. And don't be judgmental and critical of your brothers and sisters if their leaves are gone and they look dead, because they're not. The growth and the activity is below ground, where the roots never die, and they're rooted and grounded, and they're firmly holding that tree in place. And so is every brother and sister in this room. They may look like, you know, the leaves are gone, they're past their prime, they ain't no good now, they're backslidden, they're this, they're that. Oh no, you need to look a little deeper and look at the roots. Look at what's going on below the ground level, okay? In a person's life, there's a ground level. Look beyond what you see, and you'll find that they're percolating right along like a whole stove full of hot coal, just like you are. And that's good news. So, that's our short word for today, but it's a good word. I see a hand. Who's speaking? Oh, Oh, Henry, did you want to say something? Oh, okay. Well, you know, oh, yeah, I have to do that once in a while, too. And, you know, that's just like worshiping the Lord. When you stretch, tell everybody to stand up, lift up their hands and stretch, and they think it's cool. It's, now you're all Pentecostals. They all do that. Anyway, moving right along. Before we have Huggy Break, we will have our missions offering, and I want to talk about missions not so much in the Philippines, except I did talk to Dr. Solano this week, and their trip to the Philippines is pretty well scheduled for early June. And he may be back here, but how many of you remember Dr. Summermatter? Dr. Summermatter was here for several years in practice at the Springfield Hospital, and then he moved to the Midwest. I think it's, I want to say Minnesota. And that's the free time that he'll have to be able to go. So Simone was going to go in February when you first were, Wayne, in that time frame. And so now it's going to be June for them so that Dr. Summermatter can go as well, because they both do life-saving surgeries to save lives. People who live in the mountains, in the villages, like in rural India, where there's no doctors, there's no clinics, there's no medicines, there is literally nothing. And I know that you can't imagine yourself being in that place, what that would be like. But I can tell you what it's like, and I have told you what it's like. And I wrote about it in great detail because I never wanted to forget what my eyes saw and what I experienced when I was there. Women in the mountains. Dr. Solano was an OBGYN, and he had his practice in Springfield for probably 25 years. He delivered a lot of babies in this area, but he does cancer tumor removal surgeries. That's what he does. For 8, 10, 12 hours a day on his feet for 2 weeks in a row. And how tiring that is. And he gets tired. But you know what? Most of the people in those mountains never get an opportunity to see the inside of a doctor's office, let alone a hospital. So the next time you go there, please be thankful. Because it isn't that way in a lot of places that we've been in our travels. Don't complain if your appointment got canceled. Make another one. You know? Give them some grace. It's getting more difficult even here to see things function as well as they could and maybe have in the past, but be patient. We're believers. You know, learn to give people grace. Things happen. Things behind the scenes. Barb, you worked there. Sue, you worked at the VA. You know a lot of things behind the scenes that happen that most of the clients never know happened, and they get upset. And because they don't know the whole story. So as believers, you know, anyway, those are the trips that are coming. And it's exciting when we do this offering. For those of you that are visiting or haven't been here a really long time, this is an in-house offering. Our tithes and offerings go in the little church building back there behind Barb. We don't ever pass a basket for tithes and offerings. That's between you and the Lord, and you're free to give any time you come in or go out or any time while you're here. And all these years, God has made provision for us, and it's been a wonderful thing. Even our giving is by faith. No, and it's not about the law anymore. God loves a cheerful giver. One day I'm going to take that basket and just flip it right up in the air and watch the money come out so that we can all be cheerful and rejoice that it's raining dollars. Actually saw that happen. And it was pretty profound. I have a letter from a place locally that Renewed Life has been a part of ever since our place was established in Bellas Falls. And I want to read this month's newsletter, just a portion of it. You don't see this. It's just something that the church supports out of the tithes and offerings that come in as a fellowship. We like to give out of that to places that we feel are making a difference. Gifts like yours go directly to serve over 2,000 prepared meals, provide free supplemental groceries, and puts locally grown fresh fruits and vegetables on the plates of over 150 families every month. Among those families served, more than 30 of them are senior citizens with a limited ability to get out on their own. Your donation allows our place to personally hand deliver that locally produced food, dairy, and fresh produce to those seniors every single month without fail. Because of the generosity of you and others like you, there are fewer hungry and homeless people in this community. Now, this is Ballast Falls, and this is why we do the food box here. If you choose to, maybe you might be inspired to do something like that once a month or whenever you come in, bring some dry goods or canned goods, because we take those up to the Chester Andover Family Center so that we can be supportive of the needy to our south in Ballast Falls, but also up this way in Chester. So Mission Sunday it supports the missions trips overseas with passports, documents, visas that you need for travel. But the other stuff we are also doing locally. So when this comes around to you, you all know what to do with that. And we just thank the Lord because, you know, we were told one time by a prophet that wasn't really a prophet, but he had a prophetic word. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay? And in the beginning, we had people that would come and tell us, oh, you're just going to have to buy all this property on both sides of the building. And we looked at the 8 or 9 of us. Jana, you were here then in the beginning. And we looked around and said, that ain't happening. We need to be about securing this one. And several of them came. And it never said in our spirit about that. But another man came. And I told you about him. The singing prospector who carried the little nugget of gold. And he stopped in the middle of a song and he said, I really believe this is of the Lord. You're never going to be big in numbers, but you'll be known around the world. And that was a laughable moment. And yet look at what's happened. The Philippines, India, Eastern Europe, behind the Iron Curtain. God has opened doors because we've been faithful. For whatever this offering does, I'm not usually one to make a good pitch for an offering because we all know what it is. But I like to talk about it because you need to know what's going on because of it. And what you're giving has made a difference. There are people halfway around the world that got saved because you gave right here. And these little baskets are starting to come unthreaded, so be careful with it when it comes around. You know, if you put hundreds in, we don't have to collect as many or as often. I think we'll pray on that. Father, we thank you. It is a joy to be cheerful givers, and thank you for what you've done as a result of it. And even though it's true, we may be small in numbers, but Father, we have a large heart. We just wanna do what you would have us to do. And so we thank you for that opportunity. And we thank you. It is indeed a joy to fly great distances. And now it's not comfortable, but there's comfort in you. And we just thank you for those windows of opportunity that have happened already and those that are yet to come. And thank you that we are a part of it, all of us together, whether we give financially or our prayers or even just remembering someone that's overseas. Carrying the gospel to places that have not yet been reached. Thank you for all the lives that have been changed. for your praise and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.